This morning we're going to take a look at Ephesians in chapter 3, Paul's prayer for the church. Last Sunday we looked at the prayer in Ephesians 1. It was a prayer that you would get to know Christ better, that you would have more knowledge of the hope that you have in Christ. It actually left you with the assurance that God was in control. He's got you. And this morning we'll take a look at this, Paul's prayer. You know, Paul was in prison at the time in Rome when he wrote these letters. He was under house arrest. I'm not sure exactly how that went. And he had a Roman guard with him all the time. But he was allowed to see visitors. He was allowed to people come and visit him and talk. But he wrote this letter to his Ephesians. And let us we'll read this here this morning, our scripture. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which you are glory. For this reason, I kneel before you, before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. We'll take the next slide. Paul, in a situation, being in prison, in a house arrest, his concern was for the church in Ephesus, or the area. Paul, as we talked about last time, spent about 3 years there preaching in Ephesus and in the churches in that area. And his concern wasn't for his own well-being, or he could really say he was falsely under arrest, but that wasn't his concern. His concern was for the church. He had a pastor's heart. He was concerned for his people. And he didn't want them to be discouraged because he was in prison, because it was for them, for sharing the gospel, for them. And I kind of like that, for which you are the glory, my sufferings. You know, what I've gone through, you are the glory of that. You're the result of me sharing the gospel and going through the sufferings. And we know from reading Paul through the New Testament, he was stoned, he was beaten, he went through a lot of things. Shipwrecked, we could go on. But because of that, his desire to share the gospel results in fellow believers, really. He says, before this, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. And he follows, he prays to the Father, just like Jesus taught us how to pray in the Lord's Prayer. He goes to the Father and asks him. And he makes it that we're one under God. There's a unity there. Every family in heaven and earth derives its name. There's a oneness there. It points us to God the Father. You know, some of the things that were going on in the church at the time was some of the Jewish converts had trouble with the Gentile converts, the non-Jewish converts. And there was always this struggle in the church in the New Testament. And at times when they were the only chosen people of God, or thought they were, well, they were the chosen people of God. You know, there was a conflict there. But God, this takes care of that. Everyone, whether you're Jew, Gentile, we could say whether you're white, black, whatever you are, everything comes from God. Your drive, your family, your name, your thing, everything comes from the Father. So that's why he kneels before him. We'll go to the next one. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that God, Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. He's praying for strength for these believers. This was written to the believers. That Christ may dwell in your heart. And I, you know, as I went through this over the last couple days and looked, I began to realize I know less and less all the time. I thought, you know, you think you got things down, but, you know, for the believer, Christ is dwelling in your heart already. When you came to know Jesus Christ, accept him as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit entered you, and he's dwelling in your heart already. So for the believers, he wants to strengthen that. You know, I go back to one time I was driving to Green Bay years ago, and it wasn't because I'm a secret Packer fan. I'm still a Vikings fan, but I was on the way and I heard this. I think it's the best way, analogy to explain this. I heard this sermon on the radio about this. It was about a pastor or an evangelist. He set up in this town to have evangelistic meetings. And this guy came to find out what was going on, and he came the first night, and it kind of intrigued him. And he came the second night and the third night. And the fourth night, he went forward and accepted Christ. And about after the evangelistic meetings, a pastor came out to visit him to follow up on this, and he asked him how he's doing. And the man says, not good. And the guy says, what do you mean not good? You just accepted Christ, the pastor said. Well, he says, there's two dogs fighting inside me. And the pastor, realizing it was the old self and the new self fighting, our old sinful nature and the new Spirit of God inside fighting one another. And the pastor sat and thought for a while, and he says, well, who's winning? And the man says, the one I feed the most. And that's, we realize in this verse here that there's this battle going on, and Paul prays for these people that they would be strengthened, that battle that we deal with every day, that old self and new self, that we would be strengthened in Christ, that we could be more like him, I guess is the best I can say it. And so then we think about those that don't know Christ. What a prayer for them, that Christ may dwell in their heart. Oh, I hope we're praying that for some people we know, because we know people that don't know the Lord. Isn't that important to pray that Christ would dwell in their heart? What? I don't think that was Paul was exactly after, but it would certainly apply in our lives and in our prayer life, that Christ would dwell in people's hearts, that they would come to know him and who he is and what he's done for them, to know that their sins are forgiven, how much they're loved, and we'll talk about that, I think, next. Next slide. He also prayed, and I pray to you that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long and high and deep is the love of Christ, to know a love that surpasses all knowledge, to be rooted and established. You know, you think about that. When you think something's rooted, it's attached, it's held onto, it's. You know, if something's rooted good, you just don't go push it over. It doesn't sway back and forth. It's solid. And then that's what he's praying for. And the thought to me comes, that's how we get our nourishment, isn't it? That's how plants get their nourishment, is rooted in the ground. That's how they get up their nourishment. And the same with us in our spiritual life. When we're rooted, and established in God's love, that's where we get our nourishment each and every day to go through our whatever we go through spiritually, whatever we go through physically, emotionally. That's what God does. He strengthens us through his love, and to know that. And it's just not a love. He tries to put dimensions on the love of Christ, and you really can't. It's infinite. You know, and how do we define infinite? I don't. It's a number in mathematics, but in life, we've never experienced anything except Christ's love that's infinite. There's no end to it. There is no dimensions you can put around it. You can't put it in a box and say, oh, when we use it up, it's gone. It doesn't work that way with Christ's love. You can't put dimensions on it. Like it says, when we talk about infinite, it surpasses all knowledge. A love that surpasses all knowledge. We can't understand it. You know, I think back, you know, well, you know, I've got family and friends that they went through Sunday school, they went through confirmation, they're not walking with the Lord. How come I am? I don't understand that. You know, why did that happen? I don't have an answer to that. I could be unsaved too. I can't tell you. Why them and not why me and not them? Or we need to continue to pray and reach out to them that they know the love that Christ has for them. But I really don't have an answer. But this is a love that surpasses all knowledge, more than you can ever comprehend. There is no limits. There's no bounds. Isn't that a good thing to pray for somebody for? Especially if they're, we set the tone here in the beginning that they were discouraged. In this time of discouragement we got because of COVID, if you're discouraged about what's going on in our country, what a thing to pray for the church. What a thing to pray for people. That they would be established, they would know this love that surpasses all knowledge. When you know that, how can you be... You can't be discouraged for very long. We're going to be discouraged. That's just human nature. But how can you be discouraged for very long when you have a Christ that's in control, that has this? He's got you no matter what happens. He holds the universe in his hand. You can't be discouraged very long. We got a Christ that has gone through so much for us, to take on our sins, the punishment he took for us. And that's how he showed it to us, how much he loves us. Just think of that. I'm going to get a... I don't know about you, I get so dry in these masks. But just think about that. What a thing to pray for somebody. And we really can't grasp it. And we're reminded in Romans 8:35, who can separate us from the love of Christ? And what's the answer? Nobody. No circumstance. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. It can't be done. You have that assurance that you're not... You know, there's times in life, boy, I don't deserve to be loved, or I don't deserve Christ's love. I did this, I did that. He still loves you. It isn't based on what you've done. He may not like what you've done, but his love for you is not based on that. It's there. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. And I recommend you go read Romans 8, chapter 8, and be reassured of that. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Not a thing. And it's a good reminder. In these days, like I say, people are a little discouraged. And what a reminder. We'll go to the next one, Bruce. This is the one I really wrestled. We'll continue on in 19 here. And to know the love that surpasses knowledge that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. What does that look like, to be full to the measure of all the fullness of God? What's that look like? What's that mean? I looked at some commentaries. I listened to a couple of sermons on this, and I think they kind of skirted it. I was never satisfied with the answers I was getting. I don't know what that looks like, totally. But God wants to fill you with his fullness. If I'm filled with the fullness of God, what does that mean? I wish I could tell you. Maybe you'll have to ask Phil. I don't know. I don't know how to explain that to you. I've wrestled with that yesterday for a long time. But he prays that God would fill you to a measure of all the fullness of God. I think we get some hints. I think in verse 4, that's why I put verse 4 down. I think we get a hint what that may look like as Paul continues to write in Ephesus to the church. He says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live life worthy of calling you have received. Be completely humbled and gentle. Be patient and bearing with one another in love. Make every effort in the unity of spirit through the bond of peace. That's what it may look like. That may be part of it. I'm not sure that's the whole thing. But that would be maybe describe somebody that's got the fullness of God in them. Maybe it's the evidence of the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5 tells us, what is it? Love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness. Self-control, I'm sure I forgot one. Maybe it's an evidence of that we have the fullness of God in our lives. I really wish I had a better understanding of this. I don't. But just think of that. That's what Paul's prayer for the people in the Ephesus is. That he wants them to have the fullness of God. You know, what a prayer for one another. What a prayer for our neighbors, our family, our friends. I think it's a good prayer. You know, the reason I kind of started looking at the prayers in the New Testament was in these times we see, especially lately with this COVID, that we're seeing some people in high places don't think the church is essential. Many churches are shut down. I'm not condemning that one way or another. What is the role of the church? Are we essential as a church? Is St. John's essential? I wrestle with that. You know, are we making a difference? I think it's a challenge to us as we've been challenged because we've had to change some of our ministries. We've had to do things a little differently. I think it's a challenge to us as individuals. Are we essential? It's a good question to ask. I think we are, but I think you need to wrestle with that in your own heart. I think it's important that we think about that. And even during the good times, when things are going well, are we doing the essential things? Are we doing what God has called us to do? Or are we too comfortable? We're just doing things for the sake of doing them. It's a challenge to us as individuals and as a church. So I think that gives us a little insight to what the fullness of God would look like. I'm not totally sure about that, but you can pray about that. Is there another one, Bruce? And then he leaves us with this, and it's a common benediction, but now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us. I think when we come to the realization God is at work within us, we're reminded of that in his prayer. We know that, and I think from years and years of reading Scripture, but Memories are short sometimes. Mine's getting shorter all the time. The more I get highlights in my hair, my memory gets shorter. I don't know if there's some correlation there. Maybe the grayness pulls it out. I don't know. Uses up your memory. But we need to be reminded that God is at work. God is at work within us, and within you, each one of you. He's always at work. And it's more than we can imagine, it says. And because of that, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ through all generations, forever and ever. And this is, it's just not a season, it's forever. That's what it tells us, right? From generation to generation, forever and ever. Christ is at work. So I hope this is helpful for you. I hope last week we covered the prayer to get to know Christ better, to know where your hope is at. Today we pray that that you know the love of God, just how much he loves you, and he's at work within you. I hope that's a message that you can use and take. And I hope it's a message. I think it's a good, seen a sermon on it. I hope it's a prayer that you would pray for others in this church, in your family, acquaintances. It covers, it really, really grounds us in the basis, really shows who God is. And I think Paul, by praying this, gives us a good example and what we should pray for. And there's other prayers in the New Testament, too, there. I think just as interesting, but we need prayer in these times. And there's a lot of spiritual battles going on, not only in ourselves, but we have the spiritual battle of the old and the new selves within ourselves that we deal with every day. So let us pray. Lord, we just thank you that you have, that you love us, Lord. And we would just pray that that love would be evident to all as you work within us, that you strengthen us in your love, that you grow us in your love, that you sustain us in your love each and every day, Lord. Help us, Lord, to reflect that fullness of God that you prayed for, that was prayed for today, Lord. I'm not quite sure what that is, but just help us to do that, Lord. Help us, even though we don't understand, just to put our trust in you, to know that you've got us, whatever happens in life. And help us to share that with those around us. You gave us spiritual gifts. You gave us fruits of the Spirit, not to be idle, but to use, to share you and direct others to you, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord. We just pray for our country, Lord, and all that's going on. Help us, Lord, to be your servants. And all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.